I was reading about one of your article where you mentioned about Manasa Pavana Ghat of Radhakund.
Yes.
Maharaj, I want to know like where we can get all details of the ghats, and can you briefly describe some important ghats?
Well, as far as the details of the different ghats.
You're talking about ghats of Radhakund or ghats where? There's ghats everywhere.
Radhakund.
Okay, ghats of Radhakund. Well, generally, I don't know, we have different ideas of the ghats, which I don't think I specifically mentioned in my Radhakund Brikhama book. I wrote a book about Radhakund. And I just highlighted different temples that most people go to visit, see the deities. But also, for example, let's start at Gopinath Temple, all right? So Gopinath Temple, there's Janava's Baitak, Janava Mata's Baitak. She did bhajan there in separation from Nittai. Nittai was in a Nitya Lila, Prakat Lila Hogyam. She's meditating there, and then she saw Gopinath because she's a Nanga Manjari. So then she's younger sister of Radharani. So then Ananga saw Gopinath, and a tamal tree was there, or whatever, like this. Very special. So that's called Janava Ghat, Janava Mata Ghat. And there's a little place, for, private place for her to bathe alone.
Behind that?
Part of it. There's the Baitak, and then behind it, there's private stairs. It's her private, because she's a Shakti. She's like Radharani, you know. She's a Shakti, Bhagavan Shakti. So, like that. But then next to that, right next to Janava's, that's also considered like Janava's, Janava Ghat. Then a little further, this is Das Goswami. Das Goswami has his private stairs, like Janava Mata has her private stairs. So the idea is that there's nobody, you know, we go up and down those stairs, but not too many people go up and down Janava's stairs, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
If you go down, you take a bath.
Yes.
But there's stairs right next to the Samadhi of Raghunath Das. One should imagine or think that these are the stairs of, you know, it's like a private beach. If you're a rich man on a beach somewhere, you may have your private beach marked off and no one can go there, whatever. So those are Das Goswami, because even I've written that in one of my books, maybe Samadhi's book and biographies. When I interview different Babas and different people about some saints here, so one person said it, and maybe it's even Srila Natadas, a pundit, I forget. Either I read it or I interviewed, because I interview different people for that book. Biographies. And then I research historical information. So it said that sometimes late in the night, I don't know why, it's always late in the night. Whenever there's some phenomenon, usually it's late in the night, sometimes at daytime, Das Goswami, but many types of mystical experiences happen later than night. We often hear it. So that some people saw Das Goswami come out of his samadhi and his sadhak group and go down those steps and take bath and come back wet, you know. Then he went back, and then there was some devotees, maybe some 24-hour kirtan was going on, like now. And then he just stopped and he glanced at them, and then he went, disappeared. So that people saw, had the impression that the Babaji's were late at night. I've heard this from some other Babaji's here also, that they saw like image or like a light or whatever. Anyway, whatever, this is their experience. Of course, you can rationalize it and give different material explanations of that phenomenon, but we choose not to, because the saints can manifest or unmanifest according to their will. He's Nitya Siddha, Parishad of Gauranga and Krishna. So there's no limitations for the Nitya Siddhas for time and space. We, of course, are limited by time and space. So that's Das Goswami Ghat. And then you go turn right on the Radhakund, and just following the Radhakund, let's say. And the next ghat you come to is Gopal Bhatta. It's called Bhatta Goswami Ghat.
Okay.
Bhatta Goswami Ghat. So there's private stairs there. They go right to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So that's the private stairs of Janava, private stairs of Raghunath Das, which we walk down every day. Actually, have Prakama the Samadhi, then walk down the stairs and go to the Sangam. So then that's Bhatta Goswami's Ghat, right in front of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's Bhajan Kutir on the east side of Radhakund Sangam. And then you go further, and that's called Bihari Ghat, Because it's Kunja Vihari.
Yeah.
And then a little further than that, it's called Sangam, Sangam Ghat. That's it. It's that's where the just below there. There's some area, some holes there in the stones, where Shyamakund and Radhakund have Milan. They meet. So that's called the. I saw some name. Maybe in Narayamraja's Brikama book or some other book. I forget. I saw, but Sangam Ghat. And then I think this maybe it's called Charan Ghat because Radhakrishna Charan are there. So that's, and then going, I'll just say going around Radhakund. And I'm not sure what those ghats on the south side are. They may be Teen Kori Goswami Ghat, because Teen Kori Goswami's ashram is there.
Yes,
and there's stairs there again,
yes,
private stairs. So that may be a name. And then you go further, there's another ashram, which I think he bought now. But there's also private stairs there. This is on the south side of Radhakund. And then there's that ramp. And then... now coming around the other side, the west side of Radhakund, we just did Parikrama Radhakund, and there is Julan Ghat. Julan Ghat is by Radha and Krishna Mandir, the Purani Radha and Krishna Mandir. You know, it's up on the hill. You go up on the hill, there's Sabji Market, and you go up to some little alley. Then there's some little U-shaped thing like this, you know, like a upside down, like this, like, you know?
Yeah.
That's right at the end of the Sabji Market on the side of Radhakund. That's called Julan Ghat.
Okay.
And maybe a couple more ghats. Now you go over to the Shyamakund. Let's just say we start with Manasabhavan Ghat.
Okay.
No, but even over by Gopal Mandir, Radhakund by Gopal Mandir, that's called Gopi Ghat.
Okay.
Gopi Ghat.
So on the west side, there are no other ghats, man?
There's more, I can't remember.
Okay.
But then Shyamakund, let's say you start with Manasabhavan. It's Manasabhavan Ghat. I met personally with Srila Anantadas, Pandit Ji, Bhavaji Maharaj, and I was asking him, as I was writing his Radhakund Mahima Madhuri book. So I asked him, I said, why is it Manasabhavan Ghat? Is there some, because Manasa means mind and Bhavan means purified. Is there some reason for that or some leela that, whatever? He said, no, I don't know. I never read anything. He said, Radharani bays there. And he gave a very interesting answer. He said, if you go there and remember Radharani's leela, your mind will become purified. Very excellent answer. There, anywhere, if you meditate on Leela, Manasabhavan Ghat, Manasabhavan Leela, Manasabhavan Nam. So the mind becomes purified in different ways, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. This is Cheto Dharp, Chit. Cheto means Chit, and Chit means mind, and means heart. It means the Chitta, which is a subtle layer between Atma and Hankar. There's Hankar, then Chitta, then Atma. Nine coverings. So that's the Manasabhavan Ghat. That's what he said. Of course, Radharani bathes there every day, midday. The Manasabhavan Ghat, and then the ghats go from there. It's next one is probably Pandava Ghat, Panch Pandavas. They used to be there on the banks of Radhakund. Tree form, pear, briksh, and all Samgaya. And then that's Pavan Ghat. Then you go a little bit further. That's called Hitarivamsh. From the Vallabhis, Radhavallabhis? Radhavallabha, not the Vallabhacharya, but Radhavallabhi temple. Bhanki Bihari Kepas, Vrindavan. So that's Hitarivamsh, and there's private stairs for him to go bathe also. Maybe some other ones. Hitarivamsh. Then you go further. Hitarivamsh. Then there's Jiva Goswami Ghat. And maybe some other ones. But then you turn. So those ghats are all on the north side of Shyamakund. Now you turn right, doing Parikrama of Shyamakund. And now you come to the east side of Shyamakund. And there you'll see like a small chatta, little roof there. And that, where that roof is, right there in those steps going to the water, is called Gaya Ghat. Gaya, of course, is Bodh Gaya. You know this, Benares or Gaya, somewhere over there,
Bihar.
It's on the banks of the Ganga, and I think Gaya. There's some rock there, some Shila, Krishna Shila, and then there's footprints of Gadadhar, Vishnu, not Panchatattva, but these names, Damodar, Madhav, etc., etc., these are names for Vishnu, Padmanabh. You can also see them as names for Krishna, and also the, although it's not written, but many Babaji's at Radhakund and other Vrindavan, I've heard over the years, they have a rustic explanation, you know, Krishna explanation for each name. We put on Tila, oh, Damodar, Damodar, so we think, oh, Damodar, he is that form of Krishna who is bound by the Radharani's Nivibandha. When he was late for Kunja Milan, he was late. Then, so Radharani took the rope, tied him up. So this is extremely, really heavy punishment. And you can only imagine how much he must have suffered with that punishment. The poor thing, as they say. We offer all our mental support and prayers for Krishna that he'll somehow get free from that terrible binding of Radharani's Nivibandha. It's a very interesting way to punish your beloved. So that's a very important god, this Gaya god. We got out there on the Tilak for a little bit. But in Gaya, there's the footprints of Gadadhar. We're talking about forms of the Lord. It's like we say, oh, Madhusudan, you know, there's Tilak, one is Madhusudan. So that's the name for Vishnu, the Gadashank Padma. For the weapons of Vishnu, they're arranged in different hands, so they get different names. So Gadadhar. So there in Gaya, there's the lotus feet of Gadadhar of Vishnu. They're there. Some Leela, Purana Leela, he came there and gave darshan to some saint or someone. And then he said at that time, he said, I'll leave my footprints here. And anyone, maybe some big saint was crying or some Brahmin was crying in the absence of his Pitris, his ancestors. And he was worrying and thought they must be in hell. I must be suffering. What can I do for them? So then Gadadhar Vishnu appeared there and gave darshan to that great devotee. And he said, listen, I'm standing here giving my darshan. Now, in this rock below my feet, I will leave my lotus footprints, Charanchina, Vishnu Charanchina. And then I proclaim now this, let's say, Shutifal or this benediction. Anyone who comes here and sees and pays pranams to my feet and offers some puja here on behalf of their pitris, your dead father, mother, etc., then they will get liberated from hell. So it's a very important tirth, a place where generally pious Hindu men, the sons, because the daughters can't do this, although they can do the function through a ritvik. The father has no sons, then the daughters can hire, you know, Brahmins. The Brahmin will do the puja, then his son will take the role of the brother, like the eldest son. They have an arrangement like this. Proxy, stand-in son, because the father didn't have any. As I know many Indian families, they have three daughters. Otherwise, it's a little perplexing. Generally, according to Shastra, without a son, there's no, you can't do Pitri Puja. This is a kind of exception to appease the bereaved daughters and to give them some opportunity of benefiting their ancestors. So that Gaya Ghat is right here, the original. Like we went on Yatra to Adi Badrinath with some Delhi friends, and Guru Maharaj, he also went, and Hari Charan. About 35 people went there to Adi Badri. And then we walked behind, if you walk up the mountains, you can find Gangotri, Yamunotri, and Devakund, which I don't know so much about. It's a new place. I wasn't there when I first went years ago. I went a few times, but not in 10 years or so. And Ramesh Baba developed that and made steps there, and because it was just valley between two mountains. Maybe it was always existing, someone said, but I don't remember. But now there's water there, and steps, looks like a bleacher, like a cricket match, you know, steps. Jinnah going up the side of the mountain. Pukka Jinnah with cement. Very, very quiet place. Because you have to walk, and the road is just all rocks. It's not, you can go in a jeep or a good heavy Scorpio type, because they took Guru Maharaj there, and all the rest of us walked, and it's all these big rocks, and our feet ankles are going this way, that way. And all these big devotees from Delhi, you know, those kind of big devotees, husbands and wives, had a good time. So it was Nitai Baba from Barsana and Haricharan and myself and Guru Maharaj went in the car. We all walked. That was a good time. So that's Adi Badri. And then the Badrinath of Chardham, this one type of Chardham, Himalaya Chardham, is having darshan of Gangotri, Yamunotri, Kedarnath, and Shivji. And I don't know, I've never heard about that Chardham and Shastra, but it's become very popular in the last 50 or 60, 80 years or so, that if you see Chardham, you get liberated. So they're calling that the Chardham, but according to Shastras, the Chardham, they're always existing, they're eternal, but they were formally revived and puja was established by Adi Shankaracharya. He established Badrinath. And Badrinath is Vishnu, but Shankaracharya is a very interesting personality, although he's Advaitin. But he did a lot of Krishna Seva also. Because he's Shiva. So he's Shiva playing the role of a Mayavadi preacher, Advaitin. But he wrote prayers to Radharani, he wrote prayers to Krishna, wrote Gita Mahatmyam, he wrote prayers and glorification of Bhagavad Gita. And he's a famous personality, Adi Shankaracharya. So he established Rameshwaram. Of course, that's millions of years old. Shankaracharya is only 2,500 years ago or so. So he reestablished and established the puja there and arranged for the puja and the pujaris. And the same thing with the pujaris in Badrinath. When you go to Badrinath, we've been there a few times, to the one in the Himalayan mountains, then the pujaris are called Nambudri Brahmins. So Nambudri Brahmins are all Mayavadis. They're all Advaitins. They come from South India. And so even today, the puja, since 2,000 years, has been going on by Adi Shankar's Brahmins. And then we have Jagannath Puri, and there's also many, many Shankarite Brahmins there, because that's a seat, that one of the seats of the Shankaracharya's pit, they call it, pit. Yeah, it's called Govardhan Math. It's called Govardhan Math, I saw. And it's funny because it's actually near Chatak Parvat Hill, and it's actually on this back road. It's a back road that you go behind where all the Brahmins live on that back hill there, and it ends up going the back way, end up in Tota Gopinath. But they go through that back way. You go by the Govardhan Shankaracharya Mat, then further on you come to Tota Gopinath and Chatak Parvat. So Chatak Parvat, when Lord Chaitanya saw that sand mountain, like Kut, Anukut, small hill, hillock. He said, "Oh, Giridhari. And Krishna, Radhabhav, and separation. So Radharani is seeing Krishna everywhere. She says that. It's in Padyavali also by Rupa Goswami, I think so. It's a very popular Leela when you see Ras Leelas in Jai Shingar and Vrindavan or Har Govind over there by Fogal Ashram or anywhere. In Braj during Shravan Maina, Shukla Paksha, for 2 weeks during Shukla Paksha, they have Ras Leela, Krishna's Leela, in Vrindavan. So the, Badrinath, we're all over the place here. We're in Badrinath. So, Nambudri, Brahmins. So they're there also. So then Dwarka, and also they have Mayavadi Brahmins there. It's so funny. You go there, they do puja, and the guy's got three lines. But the good thing is that they're so powerful and so wealthy and so rich and organized that they've been maintaining the Seva Puja of these Vishnu. They're Vishnu tears. It's of course, on your way to Badrinath is also Joshimat. And Joshi Mat is where Shankaracharya realized Brahman. He realized that he and Brahman are not different. I am that. So, Om Tat Sat. Sarvakal Bhamani Brahma, Idam Brahma. So that's Gaya Ghat. So that's a very, very, very important ghat. All the Vrijavasis and all the, even now Videshis that have Tirth Gurus and Pandas and Radhakund, they rather than going to Gaya, they go there to do puja for the ancestors. You know, the seven balls of rice balls with coated with molasses, and then all, there's so many rituals. All those rituals are done there. It's a very popular place. And then they throw the ashes in the shamakund of the shamshan, of the cremated relative. So Vrijavasis do, and maybe Babaji's, whoever they do for their ancestors. And one godbrother, he died, and his will was that he wanted two people to do this function. He named in his will. One was Radhakund Brahman, and the other one was me. So I knew that he had left, and I knew he was cremated in Vrindavan. He died there. He was here for 1 month also. But it was too hot. I had no AC. And he was dying, feeling very hot from the cancer or whatever. So he went to Vrindavan. So this Brahmin called me. He said, "You have to come and help me with this puja." And I said, "I don't know. What do I do? I don't know anything about it. I'm not a Brahmin." So I went there, and then he went there to Gaya Ghat. So I saw with my own eyes, and I've also seen Mohan Panda oftentimes there, and other Brahmins doing the purohits for their clients, whatever you say, jajaman, they say, jajaman, customers, whatever. And they're there. So he had all these seven balls, and then he asked me to throw them in, and then the ashes, we both he had this big urn type of thing, we were both throwing the ashes. So that's a very important ghat. And after that, Gaya ghat, then there's Madhavendra Puri ghat. There's some other ghat. There's some other ghat, of course, Mahaprabhu's ghat. There's two ghat, Mahaprabhu ghats. And you go around. There's some more. I mean, I'm missing some. There's more. I'm getting about two-thirds of the ghats, I'm telling you. I'm remembering. Then Mahaprabhu ghat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then there's Vallabhacharya Mahaprabhu ghat. And then Madan Mohan, I think that, I don't know, it's called Sanatana Goswami Ghat or whatever. Either Sanatana Goswami or Madan Mohan Temple. Because Sanatana Goswami did bhajan there, and there are steps there also, private steps. So that's some of them. So you can go bathe in all those ghats and pray for all those personalities and go to Gaya Ghat and pray and offer tarpan there. Pretend you're in the Ganga. Because all... my Guru Maharaj made a funny point. And we went there, and then we sitting there, but Adi Badrinath, he was sitting in the sun because he was too couldn't go up the stairs. It was too much painful for him. He's old. Because the stairs go up like this to go for the darshan. Quite. So he just sat by Taptakund. Taptakund is there on the left. When you go to Badrinath, Taptakund is a hot springs. And because tap means heat. That's why we say tapasya. When we do the goddess brat, that's tapasya. And you get, if you're not eating or eating anything for your jataragni, for your digestive fire in the stomach, if you put food in there, then it burns up the food. If you put water in there, it burns up the water. But you put nothing in there, it burns up your sins. It burns up all the nonsense inside the body. Because you know, in Hari Bhakti Vilas it mentions, and also it's a fact. But we have to follow the modern teachings of our acharyas and their comments on the different shastras. That's why Srinivas Acharya glorifies our six Goswamis. Nana shastra vichara naika nipanosa dharma samstapanko. This is Nana Shastra Vichara Naik Nipano. They were very expert Nippon, very expert in studying all a variety of shastras to establish the Sad Dharma, the Prem Dharma, this Radha Krishna Yugalopasana. Radha Krishna Yugalopasana, worshipping of Radha and Krishna together in the Braj in Madhurya Leela Parakiya Bhav. They searched all the scriptures, and they took a quote from here, and two quotes from there, and many quotes from there, and collected everything to present present the philosophy, the tattva siddhanta, the sadhana, and the prayojan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He taught them in a seed-like way. So they did that. They gave us the essence. So we see that in Ekadasi Brata, the original Shastras say, it's a three-day brat. The first, and 3 days is no grains. 3 days, no grains. On Dasami, then you don't eat any grains and you eat falahar, means fruits, or boiled potatoes, or some, like, kashifal, a couple things you can eat. Then Ekadasi Nirjal, Chobisganta, sunrise, Nirjal. And then next day it's on Dwadasi, that's called Payovrat. In the Bhagavatam, I don't know, maybe fourth canto or so, Devahuti or someone did Payovrat. P-A-Y-O. It means milk. So no grain. Papa Purush lives in grains on Ekadasi. So Dasami, there's only fruits. So if there's any grains, because the idea is, why is the idea? Because generally, we eat grains the day before. Now, most people say they're constipated or problem with digestion. So now during the Ekadasi Tithi, there's grains inside the body. They're in the large intestine or they're in the small intestine. They're somewhere, but they're in the body. And Papa Purush enters those grains. So then the day after is Payobrat, and it's explained that King Ambarish Maharaj, everyone knows Ambarish Maharaj, this Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindiyora Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gananar Varanani. So he is exalted and glorious because he absorbed all of his limbs of his body and his eyes and hands and everything in the service of Vishnu, beginning with his mind. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindiyora. He always fixed his mind. Because that's it all begins there. Where your mind is where you are. Your hands are doing so many things in seva, but you're just thinking of this or that maya, then you're benefit very less. Because unless the chitta, it's called antakaran. Antakaran has to become purified. And there's no antakaran, no lila smaran. Antakaran, lila smaran. So antakaran means the man and buddhi. Ankar, everything has to become shud or pure. Jiva Goswami says this in Sandarbhas. He says it's impossible to do Lila Smaran unless the Antakaran is pure. So that's why back to stage one, Chaitanya Dharpada Marjanam. So now the Payobrat, his wife was doing, he and his wife would come all the time from Madhya Pradesh on Ekadasi, do the Ekadasi, and then they would do Payobrat the next day. They're kings and queens. And it's some, I don't know what yuga that was, I don't remember. I don't know, Ambarish, when that was, I can't recall. This is what's told in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's a 3 day brat. But our acharyas have limited it to Ekadasi, just 1 day. But still, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says, one should eat absolutely nothing. He said, any human being should observe at least this 1 day Ekadasi, do nirjal. However, he gives these verses, however, if one is invalid, if he's old, you know, kamjor, weak, he's old and invalid and sick, then after sunset he can eat some fruits and roots. What we do and how we do, that's the shastra, and now that's the principle or the shastra. Now what details you follow, that you have to follow your guru. That's why we have guru. So obviously the Goswamis have studied all the shastras and they selected, okay, only one and not 3 days. So even there's a tika by Vishnu Chakravarti in 11th canto. He said for the devotees, for bhaktas, because ours is not the path of tapasya, ours and vairagya, that comes automatically, the what we need, but ours is the path of seva and bhakti. He said the only austerity for the Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is to fast on Ekadasi and Janmashtami and Shringa Chaturdasi and Ram Nomi and Vaman Trayod and Dwadasi, and like this. And then, and that's what's in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Nisringa Chaturdasi. Now, after the six Goswamis and after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have, which is not mentioned by Sanatana Goswami or the six Goswamis, but our acharyas, that's why I say details may vary, they've introduced fasting on Radhastami. It's not in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And Janmasthami is there, but not Radhastami. And Mahaprabhu's appearance day, it's not in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And then, so, and then if you're a Nityananda Parivar, Nityananda's day. Like once I was asking Gurudev, I said, and then, like Balaram is not mentioned either. So I asked Gurudev, I said, we have Nityananda Trayodasi, we fast, but Nityananda is also Balaram, but we don't see any mention about fasting or anybody. And he said, they're the same. So if you fast for one, you should fast for that too. He told me. I said, all right, more faster we're going. We're going very fast here. We're really going fast. So many fasts. I shouldn't have asked it because I don't know if my godbrothers are fasting on Balaram's appearance day. But or like fasting for the appearance day of Guru or disappearance is nowhere in Hari Bhakti Vilas, nowhere in Shastra. Appearance of the six Goswamis. Disappear. Tirubhava, six Goswamis. Satan Goswami didn't write that. But we do that. So in any particular group, they may, like everyone, one Gaudiya Math, everyone's fasting today. Well, why? Because it's the Acharya's, of that Math, it's his Tirubhava. I'm across the street with a different Gaudiya Math, with a different Acharya, we're not fasting. But there's five, six crucial days. Sometimes I've heard, because it was said, if you miss Ekadasi, what to do? And it's been said, and I've heard, you should fast the next day. But actually, the fact is, there's no... Because that's why I was making this point is, in bhakti, there's no such thing as prayaschitta. Prayaschitta is karma mark. And you're doing panchupasana. You're worshipping panchupasana, Sriya, Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, like this. And Vishnu. Then that's called karma marg. So there's so much ashram dharma and ashram dharma and varna dharma and all these rites and rituals and pujas. So if you miss any of those, then that's a sin. And you have to do atonement. It's called prayaschitta. But in bhakti there's no prayaschitta. That's why Krishna says in Gita, api chet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanya bhakti. He says, okay, you do bhakti. So if we have any anomaly or there's any fall or maybe we veer from the bhakti principles, whatever, what do? Do we fast for 27 days? No, we do more bhakti, we chant more rounds. Because if you miss Ekadasi, you miss Ekadasi, bas. Because the reason you're fasting for on that day of Ekadasi, on the 11th day after Amavasya, and 11th day after full moon, is because Pap Purusha lives in grains on that day, and if you fast, you won't get any, because he lives, if you eat grains, all sin will come inside of you. So by fasting the next day, you know, you missed Ekadasi, so sin has come inside of you. Papa Purusha has come inside of you, you missed Ekadasi, because you're traveling, because you're in business, because you're sleeping, whatever, it happens. You know, even the biggest sannyasis and gurus, whatever, moving, traveling here and there, they miss, whatever. So what to do? Then you come to know, because you wouldn't even fast, you wouldn't fast on Dwadasi unless you came to realize that you missed Ekadasi. So what do? You feel repentance. So if you miss, but you have to do repentance. It's a feeling of the heart and mind. It's feeling sorry. Oh Bhagavan, I'm sorry, I spaced out, I missed Ekadasi. But so first you feel repentance, please forgive me. I did wrong, I made a mistake. Oh Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, please forgive me. I'm very fallen, and I'm very foolish, and very stupid. Please forgive me. So first is repentance and begging forgiveness. Then the next thing, what to do, is say, well, because I want to show my sincerity, I will chant 10 more rounds on Dwadasi. Plus. Because I said, there's no, you miss. So there's no prayaschitta. It's a very interesting concept when you think about it. It doesn't mean that we can just do anything and chant Hare Krishna, because then you're sinning on the strength of the holy name.
Yeah.
Papa Buddhi.
Yes.
You have sinful intelligence, and then you get sinful reaction, and you get, it's an offense to the holy name. So we feel repentive and we chant and carry on. So these are some of the ghats.